Grace, mercy, and peace of the Lord be with you. And today we're focusing on the special gift, the special blessing, the benediction that comes at the end of the service. So I want you to think about the end of things. And all you guys know I'm a big movie buff, so that's one of my questions here. Do any of you ever actually sit through all the credits at the end of the movie, like when you go to the... Anybody do that? Okay. A lot of the choir does that. You know, and they've started doing, if you notice this, if you do that, a lot of producers now, they're putting little extra things in the movies and worked into the credits. Sometimes it's, you know, outtakes and bloopers, and those are pretty funny. But one of the funniest ones I remember was Ferris Bueller. Anybody? Bueller, anyone? If you've seen that, you know why I'm saying that. But that's one of the first movies I remember them actually doing that in. And at the very end, you know, they had little clips of, like, the principal from the school and kind of funny things that kind of kept the story going. And then at the very end of the credits, shows Ferris Bueller. He walks up to the camera, and he looks out like he's looking right at you. And goes, "Are you still here? Go home! Go home," he says. You know, it's all over. It's time to go home. Now, I wanted to ask you another question about the end of worship. Do you ever get a little too early on the leaving of worship? And the way I put it is, do you ever check out of the worship service before, like, okay, what's next? What are we having for lunch? You know, before this last part of the worship service comes. And in the sermon notes I hear, if you do that, you're going to miss out on not one, not even two, but really three beautiful promises from God to you that come in the words of the benediction. So we're going to look at those three promises today. And if you grab the sermon notes there, you can see. Here's the first one. In the benediction, God does give us a promise, and it's a promise for protection, you know, that guarding and keeping that I talked about with the parents and their children today. But God doesn't stop there. He also said to, through Moses, through Aaron, to God's people, he gives a promise of grace. And all the wonderful things that means, that God would be gracious to us. You know, and wrapped up in the definition of that word grace means all kinds of things that I don't deserve and that you don't deserve, but we get because of Jesus Christ. So we'll talk a little bit more about that second part of the message today. And then the third blessing, the third part of our message, in the benediction, God also gives us a promise for peace. And what an awesome gift to know this peace of God, this peace with God, and this peace from God, specifically the peace that Jesus and only Jesus can give. So, let's look at the first part of the benediction. In the sermon notes, I put the verse 22 and 23 there. So, will you read that with me? "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you.'" And now, this is really important. This isn't something, you know, that pastor made up. This isn't something even that the early disciples made up. It wasn't something that the church ever made up and said, well, this would be a nice way to end the worship service. No. You see those first words I put in bold? The Lord spoke to Moses, saying. This is the Lord himself. This is God himself saying, here is the way I want you to have Aaron and the priests give a blessing to my people. And in fact, in a little bit, we're going to see, as Dad said when he introduced the scripture reading there, to put God's name on us. And that is certainly one of the great parts of the blessing. So God gives this word to Moses, and he says, Moses, when Aaron and the priests, you know, speak to God's people, have them give this blessing. And I actually thought about bringing out the baptismal banner, even though we don't have a baptism today, because we have that verse from Isaiah that says, I have called you by name, you are mine. Now, that's awesome to know. But that he knows us by name, he's called us by name. But what God is saying through Moses here is, but I'm also putting my name on you. And that is a part of that blessing. You know, what an awesome family name to have. Children of God. So that blessing comes from God himself. Now, does this ever happen to you, husbands, as you're leaving the house? Oh, while you're out, can you get... Does anybody have a... What? I don't see blank stares out there from you guys. No honey-do lists when you're leaving the house? Okay. Well, this is the good news. In church, when God is sending us away, he doesn't end the church and say, now here's six things I want you to do. That's what I do. I give you seven things you want to know. No, I do that sometimes in the sermon. But to me, it's nice that God doesn't come all of a sudden and say, as you're leaving, then just dumps a burden on us saying, here's all the things you need to do. No, that's not the way he ends the service. Now, he may have given us some things to do during the sermon or during the reading or during the prayer time, things that we carry with us. But he wants us to leave, most of all, not with a burden, a feeling of burden, but with a blessing. So he blesses us as we go on our way. So when those sanctuary doors open, we are going with that blessing of God in our hearts and in our minds and on whatever work he has for us to do while we're out there. And in the original language, the verb forms sometimes are really important. They add extra meaning to understand what God is saying here. And I try to capture this in the sermon notes here, is that God actually, very literally in the original Hebrew, when it says, the Lord bless you and keep you, it really could have been translated, the Lord is going to keep on blessing you, and the Lord is going to keep on keeping you. That he's not going to just do it once and then stop. The blessing continues. So during these last 6 weeks here in this new year, we've been looking at many different ways, many parts of our worship service, and how God blesses us during worship. And let me kind of walk you through them. We looked at the invocation, you know, and said, what a blessing that is that we get to start our worship in God's name, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We talked about why we make the sign of the cross. But to say we are worshiping God for who he is, this amazing triune God, but we're also worshiping God for all that he's done for us. And then we talked about the confession and the absolution and what a gift it is that we can come to God, you know, with all of our sins and lay them at the cross and know that they are totally forgiven. And you've heard those words already. All of your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We thank God for how he blesses us during worship with the Word. You know, the Word written and the Word shared from the pulpit. We praise God for the gift of prayer, that he wants to have this two-way conversation, this dialogue with us. And last week, we also talked about praise. You know, what a joy it is to praise God, but also what an encouragement it is for us when we come together and we see and hear one another praising God. And then today, the sending with the blessing. So he blesses us during worship, but he also promises that ongoing protection. And as I was thinking about that, I like to use Luther's evening prayer. I often pray that before I go to bed at night. And every Wednesday in chapel, pretty much, with our school children, we use Luther's morning prayer. And they both have the same phrase to me that goes, as Luther was capturing this part of the benediction, that the Lord bless you and keep you. Because keep here really means guard, to watch over you. And if you do Luther's prayer, if you've ever heard it, he says, you know, let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. And so we're trusting in God. We're asking for that protection from God. Now, does that mean bad stuff never happens to us? You know, Jesus himself said, you know, in this world you will have troubles. But he says, fear not, do not be afraid, for I have overcome this world. And to me, the second part of the blessing is really important. It's especially important when we are facing the impact of living in a world of sin. Because when sin came into the world, death came with it, and pain came with it, and suffering, and bad choices, and all that stuff came with it. So let's read number 625 together and listen to this part of God's blessing for us. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. So I told Margie yesterday, I went and I grabbed this picture and I said, look at this. And I showed her this picture, and it's a picture of us hugging each other. And she immediately did what? Yeah, you're all doing it right now. Pretty much. Yeah, she immediately smiled. And I said, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about today. You know, you all have some pictures that you cannot look at those pictures and not get a smile on your face, right? And they're probably a family or really close friends. And so, you know, that's one of the blessings of having pictures. Well, here's what I want you to think of. When God pictures you, when God thinks about you, the same thing happens. He smiles. He smiles. Because when he sees you and me, it's kind of like this. If this was just a picture of me, I probably wouldn't smile. It's a picture of me with someone I love. Well, how about that? Who do you think God pictures standing right beside you every time he sees you? He pictures you with Jesus. And how important that is when we are facing hardship, when we're facing difficulty, to know that we are not alone. There is another blessing, too, that I use occasionally, and maybe you've heard it before, and it kind of makes me think of this. And it says, you know, it goes basically like this. May the Lord, you know, Jesus himself, may he go above you to watch over you. May he go beneath you to lift you up. May he go before you to lead the way. May he go beside you to befriend you. And may he go within you to give you peace. And to me, that captures this idea of, you know, when God looks at you and me, he never really looks at you and me without first looking through his Son. Without really looking at the blood that the Son shed for us, so that we could be his children, so we could pray to God our Father. So when he smiles, because he sees Jesus standing at our side. And then the last part of the blessing, beautiful truth here about God. So let's read the verse 26 together. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So sometimes we say it, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, or the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Several years ago when we were still in Louisiana, we were doing Henry Blackaby's Bible study called Experiencing God. And one of the ladies, a good friend of ours, her name was Mitty, and she was in the study with us in our small group. And in that study, she said something. She says, you know what? I never realized that God likes me. She said, I always knew he loved me, because he has to love me, because he's God. But that he likes me, and the idea that God wants to spend time with us. And to me, this idea of God letting his face shine upon us, or turning his countenance to us, is the idea that God doesn't just tolerate you and me. He doesn't just put up with us, but he loves us, and he wants to spend time with us. And I love sometimes, I've seen this here at church before with the little ones and their parents. If the little child is trying to talk to their parent and they're not listening, have you ever seen this? Or has your child or grandchild ever, when they come up and they just take you by the face, and they turn your face right at them? You know, they say, look at me. I want your attention. And this is the great thing. God is always, always, always right there. And he wants our full attention. But we always have his. How awesome is that? The Lord turn his face towards you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Wow. So we've been really blessed during, I think, these past 6 weeks to look at the parts of our worship service and the parts of our liturgy. But I want to close with this truth, that we could never hear the words of blessing, even spoken all the way, you know, thousands of years before Jesus was even born. That blessing was anticipating the birth of Christ. That blessing was anticipating the death of Christ. That blessing was anticipating the resurrection of Christ. Because this is the way I said it, one final point about these promises, you know, a promise of God's protection, a promise of God's grace, and definitely a promise of God's peace is only possible because of the forgiveness that we have in and through Jesus Christ. Now, the people in the Old Testament, they were looking forward in faith, with eyes of faith, looking forward to the birth of the Messiah. You and I look back with eyes of faith to the same birth, death, and resurrection of the Savior Jesus Christ. And so there's a reason that both with the invocation as we begin our worship service and with the benediction as we end our service, we do it making the sign of the cross. We make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then when I speak those words of benediction, as did Aaron and all the priests leading up to this worship service today, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and making the sign of the cross and give you peace. Amen. Lord, we thank you for that peace, and may that peace that passes all understanding continue to guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.